Hey, Sun Leaders, this is Dan Dan, your payroll man, and this is my first podcast for Sun Leaders, and I am going to be your host today. I have a very special guest. My guest is Liam Arrington. He is a benefits partner of mine and Landmark Payroll, and we've since become friends. The topic that we're going to be discussing today is diversity in the workplace and how it has changed or has not changed in the LGBT plus community. So, Liam, how are you today?
I'm good, sir. I'm very honored to be your first guest on this topic because I think it's very important. So,
well, I really appreciate you being here. Obviously, we spoke a little bit prior, and I've been around a little bit longer than you, so I've experienced what I would call diversity for a real long time, but diversity in a good respect and in sometimes a not good respect. And with you being younger and in short into the workforce, I wanted to get your impression on, do you think we are moving forward? Are we moving backward? And do you think there is diversity in the workplace today?
I feel like I should first say that I'm trans. So it's not like I'm a very open person.
Liam, you are permitted to speak exactly how you wanted to. I wasn't going to bring that up until a little bit later, but why don't we just dive right into it? No, this is our time. So your comfort level is most important to me.
Yeah, no, you can ask me anything. So in terms of workplace diversity, before I got into the insurance realm, I worked in healthcare for about 6 years. And I always look back, you know, hindsight's 2020, but it's very ironic that, you know, as a nursing professional, as a tech, as a doctor, you have to give the patients the utmost respect and you don't always get it back. And that's actually how I kind of started my insurance career is I went to my boss on a Thursday about having a gender reassignment surgery. And that following day I was chopped from working there and I just kind of spiraled and got anxious and applied to about 80 jobs and insurance just kind of stuck out and that's how I'm here.
Liam, you really hit a core in when you had mentioned your choice for gender reassignment to your employer, who I understand was a pretty good size employer. How did you feel that day? I mean, how did you feel that day that you were just eliminated like that?
So it was a very well-known hospital in the area. And in full transparency, I was talking about top surgery because it's something that I wanted to get. I mean, I've had it scheduled and canceled 3 times. And I had it scheduled and I went to her and I was like, hey, you know, I have this coming up. It takes about a year or two to get scheduled. Like, when is the best seasonality that I can schedule it? And, you know, she was very nice, gave me an answer. Of course, it was a conversation via talking, so I don't have any, like, you know, documentation or anything like that. The whole time I was working at the hospital, I had nothing but, you know, compliments and stuff from patients and other staff. And then all of a sudden that next day, they're just like, yeah, it's not working out. You're a very disgruntled work person. And I was like, how does that even translate? Like, how does that even happen? You know, like, how do you go from having so many compliments on your work ethic and your attitude and everything like that to then mentioning that and, hey, we're going to try and throw everything we can at you so you don't work for the company anymore.
So I'm curious, you made a good point. You had a stellar record or a very good record prior, and then all of a sudden you were looked upon as, I don't know, being a ghost or, you know, different. How did that make you feel?
Not great. I mean, I've always been very open with it. My name is not legally changed yet, so that kind of creates some road bumps. So that, you know, I came out very quickly when starting that job, and there was a couple guys there that would continuously call me, you know, degrading names and stuff like that. So the whole experience as an entire thing it makes you feel very minimal, like that you're not worth it, that you're not someone who deserves happiness.
And how long ago was that?
This August, so August 2024 will be 2 years.
Okay, so 2022, when the world seems to have advanced so far, or I should say the LGBT plus community has advanced so far, did you at that time feel like you were thrown back to before Stonewall, before anything other than a white Anglo-Saxon American was accepted.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't my first encounter of discrimination like that, but it definitely was the one that I would say hit harder than most, because at this time I had started hormones, so I looked very passing. I looked like a man, like you couldn't really tell unless I said something. And I was like, okay, cool, like this stuff's not gonna happen. Like we're past all that. We're getting better, right? And then all of a sudden this comes out of nowhere, and I was just like, dang, okay. And then, you know, kind of off topic, but then, you know, the following year, you have, you know, Roe v. Wade overturned, which a lot of people just think has to do with abortion, but it has to do with so much more, such as same-sex marriage and interracial marriage. And it was just like that whole year from August 2022 to August 2023, I feel like we as a nation took massive, massive leaps and bounds backwards.
I have to agree with you. I'm relatively new to Florida, coming from New York, being a fairly open state, to going to Georgia, being a somewhat closed-off state, except for the city of Atlanta, which was incredibly open and accepting, to coming to St. Pete, which has been incredibly liberating. I understand what you're discussing and what you're saying here, so... You know, I want to say I'm sorry that you've gone through it. It's almost expected that people are going to go through some form of discrimination. And perhaps that's what my topic should have been, discrimination in the workplace versus diversity. But I think that a lot of times when I'm speaking to friends and colleagues and family about diversity and inclusion, there's always a discrimination subject, you know, that comes up because without, you know, in the absence of diversity, you're going to have some very uncomfortable situations. How did you overcome, other than leaving and starting your own business and becoming a stronger person, how did you overcome that incident with the hospital?
I don't know if I can. I mean, I did try to sue. I lost, but so that, you know, that whole process was kind of mentally tasking, because like you had to sit there, and I don't know if you've ever been through a lawsuit or anything like that, but like you have to sit there and take what person A said and justify it on what, because you have, you know, your version, their version, the truth, right? So that whole process, it was mentally tasking, but at the same time, it gave me that, like, if I do this and I don't win, that's okay, because then it's going to be easier for the next person. And now in my life, you know, as a 26-year-old trans man, like you said, I'm young, right? So like, I haven't seen as much as other people. But the way that I kind of view what I do and how I do things just in general is, if it makes it, you know, a little bit easier for the next person, then why not? So that just kind of is what gets me through, is just like, I may have to go through it, but it'll be easier for the next guy,
right,
the next girl.
Right. Well, thank you for sharing that. And I look at you and I see strength. I see resilience. You know, I hear it when we have our conversations. What motivated you to get past where you had that uncomfortable situation to move forward? What was there one such piece of motivation, or was it someone that may have helped you through it? What got you through that period?
Honestly, that's like a really good question that I don't know. For me, I mean, everybody has trials and tribulations in their life, but for me, mine wasn't great. So, you know, outside of being a part of the LGBTQ community, so it's like I've always just kind of had this, like, if one thing bad happens, then okay, just on to the next, just keep moving forward, it'll be better one day. So I just have always kind of had that mental idea. But when it came to, like, this situation and, like, moving forward, like, you know, in short term, I would honestly just say, you know, my friends, my family, my pets, you know, I'm a collector of cats.
So you would say that your cats have been... I'll pull through this process.
Yeah. I mean,
I have
a little kitten that I got from, you know, one of the gay bars here in town, and I named her Marsha after Marsha P. Johnson. So
you are too, you know, funny.
So it's yeah, cats just kind of help.
So, I mean, I know that we've spoken obviously many times before, and I've got a couple of years on you. So I have been an out man for 40 years. So I went through some, you know, pretty interesting times in the 80s and the 90s, but it doesn't sound like it's gotten that much better. I mean, I would have thought that 2022, people would be more accepting. Businesses, large businesses such as a hospital that treats all kinds of people, would be a little bit more accepting. But you know what? I commend you on your perseverance and moving forward and getting past that that period. I'm going to go back to my original question. Do you see that DEI or diversity inclusion has changed at all? Has it gotten better? Your thoughts?
Like I said, I don't really think anything has kind of moved forward. I mean, like I said, I'm 26, so I've really only been in the workplace, you know, 6-7 years. And I remember even before I started transitioning, you know, when I identified as a lesbian, like I would get comments of like, you know, hey, you know the female anatomy better. Can you help me place this Foley? And it's just like, people just don't see how that's a problem, mm-hmm. you know? Mm-hmm. And it's these companies and everything, like, yeah, they want to hire you, but they want to hire you so they can check a box.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like being accepted in college. They don't care as long as you check a box.
So I'm gonna move forward just a little bit. So now companies, businesses, small, medium, large businesses have diversity ratings. Okay. Now, was that important to you as you sought employment as a trans male when you went back into the workforce with the company that you're with right now?
I honestly don't really pay attention to ratings and employee reviews and things like that when looking for a job most of the time, because it comes from a place of I need a paycheck. But no, it is definitely become a staple when I'm, you know, because as an insurance person, you can have multiple carriers. So as I'm like working with other carriers and stuff like that, we get on the topic of if I want to contract with them and things like that. I do ask them like how they feel, how the company feels, how, you know, as a whole they work, you know, and it's not so much their personal opinion, but just as the company. And I like to get firsthand experience from people I talk to, not so much reviews online. Because like you could have me, I could go on there and be like, you know, Bill's Hospital did X, Y, and Z and it's, you know, crappy and don't go there. But you don't know the full story. Like somebody could say that just out of spite.
Right.
But I definitely have, as I've grown up, you know, even at that same hospital, I remember I asked them about the hospital's views and the hospital's reaction to LGBTQ rights. And their answer was it's what you wanted to hear, right? But also hindsight's 2020. It's what you wanted to hear. So
I think sometimes employers know that and they will
100%
tell you what you want to hear, unfortunately. Not that way everywhere, but I will say that in quite a few businesses that I've come into contact with over the years, it's tell him what he wants to hear. Get him in there.
Exactly. So. 100%. And it's like so many people are scared to have these conversations or say something that goes against the norm or something like that. And it's just, people need to understand like everybody has feelings and everybody has differing feelings and differing views. And that's the only way we're going to get better. Just saying what we want to hear or what the other person wants to hear, that's not going to help anything.
I agree 100%.
Is your website as effective as it could be? Are you using it for more than just marketing? And do you give it constant attention? If not, you're missing out. Your website should assist with your business operations, from processes and procedures to client onboarding and tasks. Your website should work for you. It should be your best salesperson. Here at Name and Creative, we work with all of our clients strategically from the start. Don't miss out on all the opportunity that an effective website can provide. Schedule a free consultation with us today and discover how we can get you on the right track.
All right, so it's 2024. And we have moved a couple of steps, baby steps, in fighting back. I don't want to say fighting back. That sounds horrible. In standing up.
But honestly, though, I mean, Dan, it is fighting back.
It
you
is
know?
Fighting back.
I mean, and you may have a different viewpoint because I'm trans or gay, but like we're under attack, you know? Like, I mean, people are trying to pass bills where, you know, kids can be taken from trans parents, you know, and it's like I feel like in some aspects it's gotten better, but I feel like in the trans aspects, it's definitely gotten worse.
Yeah, I probably should have retracted what I said or reworded what I said. It's always going to be a struggle. It's always going to be a work in progress. I don't think we're going to ever get to that point where every single person is accepted like anybody else. You know, I think people are going to always pass judgment. All right. I want to switch gears just a little bit. What motivates you now? What actually makes you be the person that you are today? I know that you're incredibly successful. You are Liam Arrington to me. What makes you successful today in the workforce?
I would say doing what I do and doing the insurance gig and the employee benefits, having the history of being in the healthcare field for so long, it gives me an edge. But I also just have a deep-rooted passion to help folks a part of the community because we are so marginalized and discriminated. For example, you know, I'm a carrier with a certain duck insurance company. I don't know if I can like legally say it or whatever, but
I think you can. This is our podcast.
Okay. So I work for Aflac, as you know, and their short-term disability policy is one of the few out there that actually is very lenient in the sense that it will pay out for gender reassignment surgery. And that just, as a trans individual, that just, it blows my mind. And I will just keep, like, I get so excited about that, you know? And I shouldn't be excited about an insurance policy. Like, that's the lamest thing to be excited about. But it's just, it's so cool that I have the opportunity to bring that to other people and that I have, you know, a major medical that's going to be able to be given to people who have, you know, like HIV or AIDS or things like that. And, you know, that where the community is stigmatized, I can kind of come in and I can't fix it, but I can at least help maybe mediate it a little bit.
I think you should be excited. I saw the passion in your face when you were sharing that with me. And there's not many carriers out there that would ensure gender reassignment. So I think in that case, kudos to you and kudos to Aflac. Okay.
For sure.
I've been an Aflac holder for 40 years.
Yep.
Gosh, I keep going back 40 years. So give me a scenario. Again, I know it hasn't always been easy, but have you ever been in the field at a business and not by the human resource department, but say you were in a business and you were trying to communicate and sell Aflac to a business owner. Have you ever had an uncomfortable situation because of who you were, what you look like, your sexuality, anything with a business owner?
Oh, 100%. I have had, so in my job, I can kind of set my own hours. So every day that I go out, it's not always going to be 5 days a week, but every day that I go out, I at least have one interaction that I kind of think back and I'm like, okay, that's definitely discrimination, or wait, was that discrimination? There's at least one, you know, being down here in St. Pete, there was a club that I was trying to, you know, see if I could get in with the owner and have a meeting with, just a meeting, you know? And so I emailed, and the regional director and everything was like super excited, really wanted to do it. I emailed the owner and his response back was, you know, just very blunt and dry. I don't know what your name is because you say one thing, your email comes across as another. Just very like, it was transphobic, you know? And I
yes.
brought that up to somebody that I work with, and they're like, well, maybe they just thought it was spam. And I'm like, and that's transphobic too, because you're literally giving an excuse to something that was transphobic. You can't tell me that bringing up rudely the difference in name when I sign my email Liam, but my email comes across something else, that's transphobia.
100%. I'm holding back a lot on this one, but 100%. And it just, it does... It shows me, you know, the shallowness that's still out there. The point that I take away from hearing what you just said and hearing it before is that it's very much their problem, but it affects us and affected you, you know, that day. But you always bounce back. You always bounce back. And that's what I commend you for. Do you, onto the next subject, but or onto the next question, but do you have...
Like
Did
a bouncing
you have a role
ball.
Model? I mean, do you have someone that you have as a sounding board other than friends? I mean, do you have a family member? Do you have a coworker that you can really, really confide in and share your thoughts with when it comes to what you experience in the workplace?
Yeah, I mean, I have a couple good friends. I have an aunt of mine who basically is like my mom. I have my dad. So I have, you know, a good handful of people. You're one of them. Past few months, you've been definitely one of them. So I have a good handful of people to confide in. But you also asked about like role model, right?
Yeah, a role model, someone that, I mean, it could be, again, you mentioned you named your cat after a certain individual. It could be someone from history. I don't know.
So my role model is me in 10 years. And the reason why I say that is because I saw Matthew McConaughey actually said it, and I think it was at like some award show or something like that. And he was talking about how he got to where he was, or I don't remember the specifics, but he said his role model is somebody, or a role model is somebody that you should never really be able to reach. So then that way you keep striving to do better. So his role model is, if he was 25, him at 35. Him at 35, it's going to be him at 45. So you never reach who you 100% want to be, because I think that's just like, it's not going to happen as much as we try. So the people I confide in, yeah, I have my friends and family, but the person that I want to be, the role model, is me when I'm 36.
I love it.
When I get to 36, then it'll be me when I'm 46.
I love it. I absolutely love it. I think that's amazing. I've heard that before.
Yeah.
I've heard it on TV. I haven't heard it in real life. So thank you. Thank you for sharing it. And it's you. It's you. You want to aspire to be better than you are today, 10 years from now. And I think
that's
amazing. Speaking of 10 years from now, where do you think, if you had a crystal ball and you were looking into the future, and with where we are in politics, which we will never speak about on this podcast, at least out of my mouth, but where we are in the world, where do you see our community, and I say our community, the LGBT plus community, in 10 years?
In 10 years? I don't know, but I have a gut instinct in 5 years there will be another Stonewall.
Interesting.
I mean, it's just everything, the way that politics is going right now. I mean, the first Pride was a riot, you know, because of the Stonewall Inn.
Right.
So it's like, I think if things continue the way that they're going and change does not happen soon, then I do think in 5-6 years there will be some sort of other riot.
I'm not going to disagree with you on that at all. What I did want to talk about is our allies. You and I have a organization that we belong to. It's the LGBT plus B2B group, okay, that we network with. And we've brought on a lot of allies, okay, whether you want to call them our straight allies, our friend allies, our peer allies. Do you see the community, at least the community that we're in here in St. Pete, getting stronger because of our allies, or going in the opposite direction?
I think at a community level, St. Pete is one of the strongest places. I grew up, I was born in Clearwater. I grew up primarily in Pasco County, and then now I live in Tampa. So I've always been in this kind of area. I've literally watched it grow. And the past, I would say 2 years or so, it has been, maybe even 3 years, it's been very deeply rooted in that LGBTQ community. I mean, you go down Central Ave in St. Pete, there's a rainbow flag every 6 inches, you know? And I don't really necessarily, maybe it's because my parents and I never did anything when I was a kid, but I don't remember it being that way when I was younger, that, or I just wasn't paying attention. But I mean, in the St. Pete community as a whole, I think it's definitely getting stronger, and I think the allies are definitely helping. But I think most of the change that needs to happen is outside of the community.
I agree with you on that. And I think that with our allies that you and I both have, I think we can make that change together. And
oh,
I'm
100%.
Just hoping that it happens sooner or later, because you're still a youngin', and I'm, you know, I've got a good 40 years left, but that's probably about it. So tell me, what do you like to do when you're not working? I mean, you're always working. I know that. Every time I call you on the phone, I'm working. I'm doing an enrollment. I'm doing this. Do you have life outside of AFLAC and your other benefit?
Me? Life outside of work? You're a funny guy. Let's see. Outside of work, I'm a collector of cats, as we already touched on. So if anybody knows of a single, you know, a solid color white or orange, that's pretty much all I need left to complete the collection. And I read a lot of, you know, self-development, history, non-fiction type stuff, documentaries. So I'm a very logical person, very analytical person. I like learning. I cannot sit there. Even the movies that I watch that are like, you know, obviously fiction, it's the same like four movies that I watch because it's just I know what it's going to happen, but
right.
I like learning. I don't like sitting there and like, is the dragon going to get slayed, you know? So
very nice. Very nice.
Read.
I really don't have much more to ask. Is there anything that you want to share? Do you have any questions about myself? I know that it's not often where the guest gets to interview the the host, but
I just want to know, because like you did a lot of asking of me, like, where do you feel like we're headed or where we came from, or like put your spin on it?
Well, I'm glad you asked me that. So as you know, we recently started the LGB2B+, and the plus is for our allies networking group, where we focus heavily on the partners and the allies that we bring in to help support our community. I'd like to see that in combination with Sun Leaders reach as many people as possible in St. Pete, further throughout Florida, throughout the United States. I would love to see our organization down here get recognized for, you know, for its growth and for its involvement with the LGBT plus community, with a big emphasis on the plus, okay? This is the only city that I've been in, and mind you, I haven't lived at many places. I grew up in Rochester, New York. I moved to Atlanta, Georgia, and now I live in St. Petersburg, Florida. But this is by far the most comfortable community I've ever lived in, you know, with me being a gay male, et cetera. And it's been wonderful. So I'd love to see our group grow, our LGBT plus group grow, with our allies, again, with our straight female, male allies, you know, that to me, that's very, very important. And I'm glad that you asked that.
Circling back real quick, because I think it's funny. So you grew up in, or, you know, New York, Atlanta, St. Pete. You could literally go 40 minutes across the bridge to Tampa, and you're going to get a totally, totally, totally different sense of community. So it's not even that you have to change states. It's St. Pete in general in the area is just its own beast. And I say that in like the nicest, most endearing way possible.
Right.
It's just 30 minutes outside of St. Pete anywhere else, it's a totally different atmosphere.
I am going to actually turn that around on you if I could, because I noticed it when I first moved to Tampa Bay. I moved to Tampa itself from Atlanta, Georgia. It was during COVID, so I really didn't have, you know, much to go on. I was quarantined for 2 years, but I found myself during, you know, the lifting of the quarantine, always being on the St. Pete side. I felt a little different in Tampa, but what do you attribute to the vast difference in the communities? I mean, I feel much more accepted over here on this side of the pond as I did over in Tampa.
That's been something I've been asking myself the past few years. I honestly don't know, but I mean, as you go more inland, you get a little bit more country, you know, and that could maybe potentially be why. But if I could point to one thing or something like that, like, I don't know what the difference is. But I mean, I feel the same way. Like, you're walking down the street and it's not, I feel safer. And it's not in the sense of safer of, I'm afraid somebody's going to like beat me up or whatever, just for the heck sake of it. But it's safer in the sense of, you know, during Pride, you can make out with whoever you want and not be an issue. You know what I mean? Where in Tampa Pride, like, you got your like six blocks of Ybor City. And if you go outside that Ybor City block radius, we don't know what's going to happen.
No, I've heard that.
Like, St. Pete and just in general is just so much more accepting and fun.
Yeah, I've heard that. And I've seen it. I see it. I think we're in a fantastic community. Well, I know that I'm much happier on this side. So thanks for asking me that question. Well, folks, Sun Leaders and all of those beautiful people out there, I'm going to thank Liam for...
Thank you for having me. It was an honor to be your first guest.
This has been exciting. It really is. And thank you for sharing everything.
I'm excited to see where you take it.
I do too.
I have one last question for you, though,
because
we were talking about it before the podcast even started. Do you know why the L is the first letter in the LGBT?
No, and we were going to find out. So,
yep.
Liam, tell the viewers why the L is the first letter in LGBT.
So, when the HIV/AIDS epidemic started, the lesbian nurses were the only people to take care of the gay men who were sick. So, as a homage, as a thank you, they put the L before the G.
And I have been around a long time, and I never knew that. But now I do, and I thank you for that. I do.
The more you know.
Well, thank you very much. It's been wonderful.
Thank you.